lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We've been looking at the office of deacon as we've been studying biblical church structure. And we have seen how that the office of deacon was established in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. The pastor was to be set free in order to do the things that he was supposed to do according to the Word of God. When I say set free, that means he was given liberty to prayer, to studying the Word of God, liberty in praying, and liberty in studying the Word of God. In other words, he was free to do this. And this is one of the reasons that the deacons were chosen in the early church. It's so that pastor could devote his time to doing the things God wanted him to do. And we've gone through the qualifications of the pastor. He's to be a teacher. He's to be an exhorter. He is to do the things as the under-shepherd of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the deacon is to help that pastor. The deacon is not to be someone who has authority over the pastor. He is the one who is to be delegated authority from the pastor. Of course, all of this authority comes from God himself, according to the Word of God. Well, we keep studying. We've looked at how that the deacon, once again, is to be serious and composed. He's not to be deceitful. He's motivated, motivated by the Word of God. But one thing he's not motivated by or stimulated by, and that is wine. He's not to be someone who drinks wine, someone who is not given to things that is not godly. And we need to keep this in mind as we look at the office of deacon. He's not a glutton of filthy lucre. In other words, he doesn't put anything above God, especially money. He does the job that God has given him because he is one who wants to serve God, and he meets the qualification of not being greedy. He doesn't look for the money in order to do the job. And then we see that he's to have a firm grasp of the gospel. He's not to be a beginner, just as a pastor is not to be a beginner. The deacon is not to be a beginner, not someone who's just recently been saved, but he needs to be grounded upon the Word of God, knowing the Word of God. He's not a beginner. And once again, this goes along with the idea he's not to be unknown to the people. In other words, the deacon needs to be known of the people. The people are the ones that choose the deacons. And once again, they must meet all these qualifications that we've been going through. Not a beginner. Then we see that being found blameless. In other words, no present negative foundation against the character of that person chosen to be a deacon. It doesn't say he's sinless. They're not sinless. No person is sinless. We're not going to be sinless until we are with the Lord Jesus Christ, until this body is changed. Until everything is changed about this body. Now, I say not until we see the Lord Jesus or we're made like Jesus. Those people who have gone on before us, they're sinless because they no longer have this old sinful body. It's gone. So therefore, that is when a person becomes sinless, is when this body is done away with. But the deacon is to be blameless, and that means no present negative foundation against their character. And then we also see in 1 Timothy 3:11 that their wives must meet qualifications. And they are to be serious and composed. They are to take it serious that God has chosen their husband. That wife is to choose to serve God with the idea that when they are working with their husband. They're doing the things of God. And they're to be serious about this. And they're not to be talebearers. They're not to be backbiters or anything that goes contrary to the Word of God to hurt other individuals. And spiritually rational. Their thinking and actions are based on the Bible. And then we see that the wife is to be faithful in all things, according to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11. In other words, constantly reliable to their husbands, to their families, to the church, and especially to the Savior. On 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, "Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well." Well, this is one wife, not two or three or more. And I remind you, it's written in the present tense. And also the husband is to be a male. And you may have people today who say that a woman can marry a woman and one of them's the husband. That's not true, not biblically speaking. And when God made Adam and Eve, he made a male and he made a female. And that's God's standard. There's no such thing as a woman becoming a man. That is impossible, because God has said that woman is a woman and that man is a man. And we see, according to God's word, the deacon is to be a man, not a woman. Some people believe in deaconesses. Well, there's no such biblical office as a deaconess. And the deacon is to be a man, a male, who's serving God. And then we see another qualification for the deacon. It talks about ruling their children and their own houses well. In other words, he's going to keep his children and his whole house with godly discipline. He's not a dictator, but he simply goes by what God says, and that's how he's to have control of his home. The deacon is one who uses his authority to have his home and children under proper control. If a man is able to control the home, if he's not able to control the home, he would not be one who is easily, he's going to be easily influenced. He must be able to control the home, and he is not one who's going to be easily influenced or swayed. And when it comes to making godly decisions concerning the church, he is constant. In other words, he is founded upon the Word of God. A man who is a deacon is not to be a yes man. In other words, he doesn't say yes if it goes contrary to the Word of God. A deacon needs to be a man who is above reproach, who is dedicating his life to the Lord Jesus Christ and to help the individuals in the local church. And once again, we look and we keep looking into the Word of God, and especially 1 Timothy 3:13. It says, "For they that have used the office of a deacon well have purchased to themselves a good degree and a great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." Well, I see here that there are certain responsibilities for the deacon and the church family. When a deacon fulfills his office or his duty as a deacon and does it well, he's earned himself, according to the Word of God, a close relationship within the church family. And has exhibited confidence and boldness in his faith toward Jesus Christ. See, there are other areas, and we could keep looking, and there are other areas of the deacon's life that would naturally, spiritually, be in order as he meets the qualifications to be a deacon as set forth in the Scriptures. In other words, some of these things that we sometimes overlook, the deacon should be a man of prayer. He should be visiting church members, visiting the sick and afflicted. He should be a soul winner and able to teach the Word of God and so forth. I believe that the deacon is to be able to step in if something happens to the pastor. He should be able to step in and help until if the pastor is taken away suddenly for one reason or another, if that pastor would leave the church. Or for one reason or another, maybe a sickness or death even, then the deacon should be able to step in and fulfill what needs to be done within that local church until a pastor can be selected by God to fill that local church, to help that congregation. And he should be a man who is called of God, once again, that is able to come into a local church. This is the pastor now coming into the local church and being God's under shepherd. We've gone through those qualifications. Well, notice this, that there's something else that we need to consider. Deacons are not to neglect the widows in the church. They're to visit, they're to help people, but they're not to neglect the widows in the church. Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Well, here I quote Dr. Bloom again. He says, in a nutshell, scriptures are telling us that New Testament deacons, as well as early church deacons, had their work delegated to them by the apostles and later the pastors. And there is not one biblical shred of evidence that it was vice versa. In other words, the deacons did not tell the pastors what to do, but the deacons, they were under the watch care, if you want to put it that way, under the pastor. The pastor was the one who was giving himself constantly to the study of the word and prayer. And these deacons were to listen and to be under the authority of the pastor, who's under the authority of God. Of course, deacons are under the authority of God as well. Well, Pastor Bloom continues by saying, he says, since I am a Baptist, allow me a chance to hit some of my pastor friends directly between the eyes. And before I finish this section of reading what Dr. Bloom says, let me remind you that what we've been looking at, biblical church structure, is based upon a book written by Dr. Andy Bloom, pastor of Central Baptist Church of Ocala. He's written this book, and I've taken some of the things out of this book about pastors and deacons and the people and church operation. I've taken some things out. I have not listed everything, and this is something that you can go online and you can find this booklet that Dr. Bloom has written. But this is something that he wrote, and we've been given permission to use some of his thoughts and some of the things that's based upon the Word of God found in this book. Well, Dr. Bloom goes on to say in this quote, there are churches, he says, who are Baptistic in doctrine but are dropping the name Baptist. Some refer to their churches as a Bible church. Well, as Baptists, we have a good historical heritage, and we should be honored to carry the name. However, some pastors view these churches without Baptist in their name or deacons in their churches as a non-church. And some Baptist churches, he continues by saying, will not accept their baptisms. Some of these Baptist churches have deacons that do not meet the qualifications as outlined in Acts chapter 6 and 1 Timothy chapter 3. Some of our Baptist pastors are more accountable to the board rather than the Lord, instead of the board being accountable to the pastor. Well, some of us have to prepare monthly defenses of our decisions. My brothers, be slow to speak, bite, and devour. Well, he goes on to say, and he's as he closes, he says, I do not have an axe to grind or a score to settle. My purpose in writing biblical church structure, Baptist government, is to instruct in doctrine and righteousness in order that we may learn to submit ourselves to God and one another, and that we may carry on the battle in unity and love as we seek the church's goal to evangelize, baptize, and teach to observe whatsoever he has commanded. Remember, our enemy is not flesh and blood. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And I would close by saying, get in the Word of God, study the Word of God, and let God lead and guide you.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.